Welcome to Real Money with David Holland, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. David is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of financial experience. And because he actually provides advice to clients on a daily basis, our hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He also offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Holland Advisory Services and Holland Insurance Services are separate affiliated companies that share common ownership under Holland Financial. Commentary given during this radio program is usually pretty smart, but should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities should not be considered an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and financial planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual's situation. Only if you hire David and his firm to help you, and only available where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Here he is, David Holland.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, I have to confess, I'm very excited about the guest today. Okay, we've arranged for a special person to come on. I know I say they're all special, but boy, Connie Allen is my guest today, author and past professional casino dealer. Isn't that fascinating? This is going to be fun. Connie, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you for having me.
I'm about to jump out of my skin here. I'm excited because I've got so many things I want to ask you about. Okay, so Connie has written the book, The Casino Through a Dealer's Eyes, and the website is the book title, The Casino Through a Dealer's Eyes, .tate, author.com. And, of course, the book is probably available on all kinds of websites, Amazon, stuff like that.
Right.
Very good, very good.
And if they forget the rest of the title for the website, they just Google The Casino Through a Dealer's Eyes and it'll come up on the search engine.
Wonderful. Okay, so you were a professional blackjack dealer for 16 years.
Mm-hmm, I was, and I really loved it. Loved every minute of it.
Well, that's one of my favorite games. I have been to Vegas a couple of times, mm-hmm. but it's a fascinating sport, if that's the right word.
Entertainment, too.
Entertainment. So, okay, so I want to start with this because there's so many things I want to ask you. And I already warned Connie, I've got a few off-the-wall questions. The first question, one of the things I know that you talk about in your book is how casinos really work. And I guess kind of right alongside that, how gamblers can keep more of their money or keep their money longer. So let's start there. What are some of the basics that we need to know about how casinos work?
Okay. One of the things that I want to share with the players that is how to make your money last longer would be, first of all, you have to have some kind of knowledge. You don't have to, but you should have some knowledge of how to play blackjack if that's one of your games you're going to choose. Because if you go by hunch betting, seriously, when you sit down at a blackjack table, it is all of you at the table against the dealer.
Okay.
And or the house. So you want to have all the best odds that you can have in your favor to beat me. And if you aren't keen on blackjack but would love to play it, then The Casino Through a Dealer's Eyes would be something you should read. It's a very easy read, so you would be able to pick up on what I share with you of how to play the game.
Okay.
So many people, because they don't really know the ins and outs of the game, will sit down at the table and bet on a hunch bet. There's ways of your support when the dealer has certain cards up, when you should hit and when you shouldn't hit. Okay?
Right, right.
Well, they go by hunch bets, and they'll hit when they shouldn't hit and vice versa.
Oh, boy.
The people who do know how to play get upset because, after all, you're helping to lose their money also. Mm. Now, obviously, if you have seven people at the table and everybody is playing consistently and you lose, it was just meant to be. But the house gets your money fast enough.
We don't need to help them.
No, don't need to help them with that. So, basically, learning some of the statistics is the thing to do. And I go in detail with each person, so they can't say they don't understand anything in the book because it is kindergarten language.
Yeah. So, what is it? A numbers game? Is that and it's statistics and it's probabilities and it's, you know, I mean, how does somebody using blackjack as an example? How do you know when to take a hit or how do you know when to hold them and when to fold them?
That again is something that is taught to you in my book.
Okay.
Because you, unless you just, over the course of years, pick up and learn little by little and someone's telling you how to play the game, or even the dealer is not really allowed to tell you to hit, what we can say to you is, well, the book says, everybody hates that word, the book says, you know, by whose book says, you know, but it tells you, you know, you should hit, like if a dealer has a deuce through six up, and you have some of the same cards up there. Well, you wouldn't want to hit, because anything a dealer has from two to six means that the dealer's going to have to hit their card. Mm-hmm. We'd have to stop at a 17 or a 21. And if we go over, that's awesome, because obviously the whole table wins. So
right. We
have to hit that. If we have a 7 through 10 up and you have those same cards up, you want to hit because you're trying to get 21 now at this time.
Right.
So my comment to the players is always, if you have a 2 through 6 up and I have one of those up to a 6, just wave yours off because you don't want to knock yourself out of the ballpark too soon.
Okay.
So now you've got two chances to win.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Anyway, that's one of the things I share with them. But again, we cannot say, oh, you should hit that, because
right. If
you hit it and lose, then you can call the floor person over, somebody say, she told me to hit that card, I lost, and so the dealer could get fired.
Yeah, well, that's no fun for anybody.
Right.
If you're just joining us, ladies and gentlemen, Connie Allen's our guest. She's an author and past professional casino dealer. The book is The Casino Through a Dealer's Eyes. And Connie, let's grab a break and come back, and I want to ask you some additional questions I have, so stay right there.
Okay.
Have you noticed most of the financial literature available is either so specific it doesn't apply, or too generic to answer even the most basic questions? This revelation inspired David Holland to write his first two books, Confessions of a Financial Planner, Secrets to a Secure Retirement, and How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Financial Scams. These how-to guides contain easily accessible information on a wide variety of topics concerning personal finances. An effortless weekend read. You'll find clarification on what a mutual fund is, how to choose the right financial professional, and much more. Call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN to request a free excerpt from David's first book, Secrets to a Secure Retirement. The number again is 888-747-7526. Or visit davidholland.com for more information on this innovative book series.
Welcome back. Connie Allen's on the line with me. She's an author and past professional casino dealer, 16 years, and she's written the book, The Casino Through a Dealer's Eyes, which is fascinating because I'm very curious. And I've got to ask a couple of off-the-wall questions now, Connie, okay?
Okay, sure.
All right. The first one is, some of these are just urban myths or rumors, and the first one is, because I've been there and I've been playing, and it seems like, and maybe it's just the exhilaration of playing, but it seems like I have just a ton of energy, and I don't want to stop, and I don't want to go to sleep, and I want to be up all night playing. And is it that they're pumping oxygen into the room? Do they play games with the environmental controls?
Well, first of all, they do have oxygen in there, obviously, to keep you awake and also to keep the fighting down.
Okay.
You know, you figure how many people are jammed into this one building, and everybody's got a different personality, and especially if some are losing.
Right.
And you say something to them and a fight breaks out. So they have to keep it that way in order to, and keep it a little bit cool in there.
Interesting. The oxygen's not just to keep me alert. I don't know what the exact percentage of normal air is oxygen-wise, but it's, you know, it's obviously not all oxygen. We can't handle that as people, but it's a little more than normal.
Right, and they keep it cool.
Okay.
They just keep you awake.
All right, well, that's fair. And I also noticed that there's no clocks on the walls.
Yeah, you got that.
and I also noticed that it's free drinks while you're playing, or can be. You know, some places will.
Vegas usually had that, you know, and our other cities and states, they don't.
Okay.
You have to pay for it.
Okay, so, yeah, I guess I was referring to Vegas.
No,
so
sure.
What are some of the, what would be something you would, that people might be surprised to hear? It's something you've seen maybe with some of the popular games that might be a surprise to them that you talk about in your book, or just something that you think people really need to, maybe something that's maybe a big misunderstanding about how these casinos work.
Well, I do think some of them think that the casinos cheat, and seriously, that would not be something they need to do, first of all, if anything, is right. the players that are cheating, not the casinos.
Well, we'll come back to that because yeah. that's an interesting point. But they don't need to cheat, and the reason for that is probably obvious. They have the odds stacked in their favor.
No. First of all, they play the odds with you. You know,
yeah.
I mean, we've had people that have bought in for say $60,000 and got their money up to $350,000.
Wow!
And then play it all back.
Okay.
Okay, well, then when they leave, they can turn around and say, oh, that casino cheats. Well, you know, you've got to remember when you walk in the door, what's going to make you happy to win to walk back out the door with it?
So you need to decide that before you start.
You have to, but they don't.
But nobody, and even if they do, I think a lot of people are going to let go of that. You know, and I, of course, use gambling sometimes as an analogy with investing because I'm a financial planner, Connie. That's what I do every day. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's awfully difficult to get up when you're down.
Oh, yes.
Right? I mean, you've probably seen people, they sit down at the blackjack table in front of you and maybe they've got, I don't know what people, that's another question, I suppose. What do a lot of people have when they sit down? Do you think, what's the average person bringing to the table?
Anywhere from $200 to $500.
Okay, so they sit down with $500, mm-hmm. and next thing you know, they're down a few hands, and maybe they've got $400. Mm-hmm. Friend walks by and says, hey, let's go get something to eat. Mm-hmm. They don't want to get up, do they?
No. You better eat before you come in, because most people are not going to want to leave the casino.
And now, you made a comment earlier that I wanted to also ask you about. You mentioned, you know, that the house, the casino, doesn't need to cheat because they're playing the odds. And, you know, the longer you play, and, of course, you're playing with emotions, they're not.
And they know you're going to play it back.
Okay. And so, but you mentioned about the cheating. Mm-hmm. So it's the players that sometimes cheat. Is that true?
Sure.
Oh,
there's some books out there to how to teach you how to count cards. Counting cards is not illegal. The casino doesn't have to let you continue doing that, which I think, to me, if you can count cards, hey, more power to you. Because
how do they know you're counting the cards?
Well, surveillance watches your track of how you bet your money.
Wow.
A lot of people will start off with, say, $50 if they're going to count cards, and $25 to $50. Then they start counting the cards, and then they're thinking, okay, you know, I've got this run going. I'm going to maybe put $200 to $300 up.
Okay.
Then they're going on the downside now, so they bring it back down to 25.
So they see
that
a pattern of behavior.
Pattern.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
And they'll come over and say, okay, you're not playing anymore? We think you're counting cards?
Yeah, they'll pull them aside.
Wow.
And they'll say, we've been watching you for a while, and then they'll follow them all around the casino.
Wow.
Because
you're getting in the casino's pocket.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right.
Fascinating.
But I still say, you know, on the behalf of the player, that's amazing to be able to do that.
It's a legitimate technique. I mean, you're keeping track of the cards that have been played.
Exactly. And most of the casinos, they do have some that are two-deck games mm-hmm. for players, but the majority of them are anywhere from 6 decks to 8 decks.
Yeah, if you can count 8 decks, you deserve the win.
And not just that, but when the dealer, and the reason the dealer cuts the deck off is they have to make sure that they don't run out of cards.
Right.
Okay, so they have to put it in a certain spot because you never know how many cards one person's going to have to take. So you got to make sure by the time that cut card comes out of there and you're still playing that you're going to have enough cards to back yourself up. So people don't understand sometimes why you cut that card where you put it. But for them to be able to count cards with not knowing what's back there behind that cut card, and they still can count those cards, it is simply amazing, and more power to them, you know. But the casino, though, that frowns on that, and they will ask you to leave. Now, some of them will want you to stay away for 2 to 3 weeks or month or whatever.
Oh, wow.
Come back, you know.
Oh, so these are people they see on a regular basis.
Exactly.
Though. Okay.
Exactly.
Somebody's living nearby, and they're making a living, so to speak.
Right.
Or trying to,
sure.
Wow.
Well, and then the reason that we say that the casino, I don't feel is a professional dealer, it would ever cheat, is because the ones who have to cheat is the dealers. Because who else is being up against the player?
True.
You know, all those games belong to the casino, but who do you have operating those games?
Yeah.
And why would we, as a dealer, who is the player's friend, who we want you to win because
right.
you are our livelihood.
How so? Because by coming back and just...
No, because we earn our money through the generosity of our players.
Oh, so tips.
Yes. So just like a restaurant, a person, waitress and or a waitress in the casino business.
I'll bet a lot of people are surprised, Connie, that that's how dealers are compensated. I'll be perfectly candid. I did not realize. I mean, I've seen people tip dealers, and I have on occasion. Again, I've only been to a casino a couple times in my life, but I didn't really realize that was a big part of it.
Right, and not just that. When we when we deal to you as a dealer, we're there 8 hours at that table.
Wow.
But we do get tapped out for breaks, but we come back to the table. And so for 8 hours, we're entertaining you and hoping. I mean, that we want it to be a fun table because that helps our day to go by faster. And we get to meet so many different people. So that is a very, for us, 8 hours being at the table with some fun people is awesome.
But not with a bunch of angry, cranky ones, huh?
Exactly. And they're usually angry because they're losing their money.
Yeah.
What they start blaming the casino.
And how does somebody, just out of curiosity, and we can move on, but how does somebody base the tip?
Basically, if you're winning, there's ways, and I share that in the book,
okay.
How to tip the dealer, and it shows you, you know, that...
What's the right...
You can either hand... anywhere from a dollar up, you know, it depends on how much you're winning, you know, so... Just like you would do a cocktail waitress, you know, a cocktail waitress who earns their money, by the way, just like a dealer does.
Right.
They deserve it, but they're only with you, say, a minute.
Okay.
A dealer's with you 8 hours.
Okay. Makes sense. If you're just joining us, Connie Allen's my guest. Fascinating topic of the casino and card playing. The Casino Through a Dealer's Eyes is the name of the book. Quick break. We'll be right back.
Are you gambling with too much money invested in the stock market? How can you tell?
It's simple. The rule of 100. Take your age and subtract it from 100. The result is how much you might want to keep in the market. The rest should be off the table, invested in something safe. Every rule has an exception, but the rule of 100 is a good starting point to determine if your portfolio is out of balance. Holland Financial is ready to help. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your free consultation or visit us at davidholland.com.
Welcome back. Connie Allen's on the line. Connie, I wanted to ask you a few more questions. I think it's fascinating, by the way, on the tips. I think a lot of people are much more educated to know that. Okay, what are the things that you, I mean, you gave some recommendations on things to do. How about some things not to do? What are some things you should never do at a table?
Oh, well, first of all, as far as to the other players,
yeah.
don't start an argument with them or just keep it in a friendly conversation, something that everybody can join in on. Don't get hot and heavy with somebody. Or the other thing is that even though the dealers would really love to have you, say you were sitting at the table and you noticed somebody else was cheating, or maybe you wouldn't want to speak up on that, but if you saw, for instance, a dealer make a mistake, because a dealer can actually lose their job over certain errors that they make at the table.
Mm.
Just like anybody, you're prone to errors.
Yeah.
And you are going to maybe pay that person a little bit more than what they should have been paid. Depending on how much more you paid them as a dealer, you can be fired. The dealer can lose their job. And some people get mad at that, even though they know that the dealer just paid them $100, $200 more, maybe more, than what they should have.
So keep your mouth shut, huh?
No, depending on how well you know the dealer, you could always go, if you wanted to do it in a anonymously, after you could get up or something and go over and talk to the floor person, and they'll run the tape back without anyone knowing that you spoke up.
Okay.
And then you could go back and say, hey, I don't want to make a big deal at the table, but by the same token, your dealer just accidentally paid somebody X amount of money more than what they should get. And they didn't speak up, and I just don't want to get her in trouble. So,
yeah.
You know, I feel better if I can speak up and say it. But players tend to get a little upset. And also, though, we do have some of our standard players that would come in all the time and would admit at the table, hey, guys, I just want to let you know, the dealer makes a mistake, I'm speaking up, you know.
Mm.
And if you don't like it, maybe you better go to another table.
Wow.
Because we've had some who had our back. It had my back many times.
Really?
You know, oh, yeah. So
you've seen all kinds, haven't you?
I did.
I mean, and, some bizarre behavior people. That, and I guess you mentioned about earlier in the program about the oxygen being also not only a mood lifter or keeping you alert, but keeping people from maybe a little bit better mood, not fight. I imagine that you've seen fights break out and, boy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We've had, but I mean, not that often.
Okay.
To be in open 7 days, 24 hours a day, to have the few, like,
as few as you do.
That they do have. I mean, it's just common. I mean, it's going to happen. But you can pretty much see it's going to happen sometimes before it happens, so that you can call someone to get security up there.
You can see it coming.
Yeah.
Well, that's very interesting. So you now, when you were doing the blackjack tables, were you what dollar amount table were you playing?
All of them. I mean, anywhere from a $5 table up to the $500 table.
Wow. So, okay, I have to ask, what's the largest amount you've seen somebody win?
Oh my goodness.
Ballpark.
Quite a bit, you know. Yeah. Quite a bit. As I said, the one guy with the $350,000.
Okay.
One story was really interesting. Where this girl. I this here one is even better than the $350,000 one. This girl bought in for like $200, and she got her winnings up to $100,000.
Holy moly!
However, she played it all back, but only for $200. Now, as you say in the financing field, what part of this don't we understand?
Yeah.
Even if you would have just taken maybe $1,000, put the rest of it back, you know, and played on that, and consider yourself very, very fortunate. No. She didn't appreciate it. But what she did, I mean, she was a very, very generous person. As she was climbing up the ladder to the 100,000, people were standing around her watching her, and she would hand out $500 chips to players who were watching her.
Wow.
And then when she got down to nothing, you know, this one, well, the players were telling me the story, and the one said, well, I know that if I was here and she gave me that and she lost her money, she says, I'd give it back to her. And I said, well, that's very sweet of you. However, she had $100,000 and didn't appreciate it.
Mm.
Why would you want to give your $500, who we hope that you would put it to better use, than to give it back to the casino?
Wow.
Well, now you think of, you say it that way. Maybe I wouldn't.
Crazy stuff. Crazy stuff.
So many things. I mean, stories go on and on and on. Mm. And it's, I've been away from the casino for over a year, but I still remember some of them that stick well into my mind.
Hmm. Connie Allen's our guest, ladies and gentlemen. She's written the book, The Casino Through a Dealer's Eyes, and that's exactly what we're hearing. Quick break. We'll be right back.
What's your dream? Play golf every day of the week? Turn that hobby into a new career? With careful planning, you can make it happen. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your no-obligation consultation. At Holland Financial, we want to help you take the first step towards making your dreams a reality. That number again is 888-747-7526.
And we are back with Connie Allen. She's an author, past professional casino dealer, and the book is A Casino Through a Dealer's Eyes. Connie, are you allowed to play while you're a dealer as a professional? Are you allowed to go in and play in somebody else's casino, or is it that kind of a, how does that work?
We are allowed to go in other
casinos.
We're just not allowed to go on our own.
Okay, that makes sense.
They were at one time, which when you look at it on one side of the fence, it makes sense that you could go into there, but then on the other side, no, they were going to let us go in and play the slot machines.
Right.
After we got off work.
Right.
Because, I mean, if you have 4,000 employees, and you know they're going to other casinos, why wouldn't you want to keep that revenue at your place? So thought about it, and they tossed it around a bit, and the reason they vetoed the idea was because if too many blackjack dealers start winning the major jackpots, that would look sick.
Yeah, of course. What is there? I got one more question I want to ask before we run out of time. What is there any? Can you make a suggestion? You probably cover this in your book. Mm-hmm. Any particular games or tables that you know the player has a better chance?
To be perfectly honest with you, I think it's we at the casino call them what's called carnival games.
Mm-hmm.
But they're just casino games. But you don't have to have a lot of knowledge to sit down at those games. I have them in my book as how to play them.
Okay.
But basically, you read them once, read it twice, or even bring the book with you. You can't sit it on the table, but you can hold it in your hand and just go to that page, and it'll walk you through it step by step is what you're supposed to do. So, it's called like Caribbean Stud or Let It Ride, Mississippi Stud, all of those games that you are not going to harm anybody else by sitting down at the table.
I got you.
So nobody else is going to get your cards or whatever.
Very good. Well, that's good info. All right. Well, Connie, I really appreciate you joining us and giving us the inside scoop on the casino world. And for more information, ladies and gentlemen, you want to get a hold of her book, The Casino Through a Dealer's Eyes. That's the name of the book. And you can also go to the website, same as the book name, The Casino Through a Dealer's Eyes. TateAuthor.com. Connie, thanks so much for sharing with us.
David, thanks so much for having me on the phone.
All right.
It was very enjoyable.
All right, my pleasure. Thank you so much.
Okay, bye.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.